तो आदित्य कासेट इज द होस्ट, इज इट?
या उसका मेल आईडी से देखिए।
ओके
या एडिट।
हाय गुड मॉर्निंग,
हाय गुड मॉर्निंग,
दिस इज सागर शेखवानी,
आई एम रमेश गिहानी, हाय, प्लीज हैव अ स्मोक।
Hello, Sagar. This is Raj.
Yeah. Hi.
Thank you.
Hi, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
Hi, Raj. Thank you.
Might have it.
Yes, I have. But I think I have your Tata card, not the PDF.
Yeah.
I'll have your card.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's an end.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
So what we can do is we have a presentation here. I don't know how you see it. So maybe you'd like to come here. Yeah. That will help others also see this presentation. Yeah, good morning, everyone. So the format we'll follow for this meeting is, so firstly, I think I have got all your cards, but in case I haven't, I'd like to keep record of whom I'm meeting. So it would be a good idea for you to jot down your names on this piece of paper, name and firm's name. Yeah, so the format of the meeting would be that we would be taking you through our corporate presentation. This is on our website. Would you like to see the presentation? In that case, you'd have to pull your chair. Yeah. So we would be taking you through our corporate presentation. Let me assure you, our presentation is not pink in color as it appears on the screen. It's it's white like it appears there. Yeah. So. Yeah. So I'll just spend the first 10-15 minutes running you through. In case you have any questions, I urge you to kind of park the questions. And at the end of the presentation, after 10 minutes, whatever questions you have, you can address to Mr. Gyani, who's our Director and Chief Operating Officer, or to me. Yeah. So very quickly, we started our operations in 1985. So many of you, I'm sure, know about Endurance, but some of you would be kind of looking at our company for the first time. I thought there's an opportunity to take you through our corporate presentation. We started in 1985 as a die casting company based out of Aurangabad. Today, we are the largest aluminium die casting company in the country. So there's a body called Alucast, which kind of lists down our capacities and production of various large die casting companies. We are by far the largest. We have four key product categories. Aluminium casting, where we also do the machining of the castings, suspensions, transmissions, and brakes. Yeah, we would be starting our fifth product, which is drive shafts. We've started it in trial lots, and we will be starting commercial lots soon. We have 28 facilities across India and Italy and Germany. 19 are in India. Sorry, I'll keep it mute. We have a subsequent slide which tells you why we are an end-to-end service provider. R&D is our focus. We have 22 patents, 18 design registrations, and we have applied for 83 more patents and 4 design registrations. For each of our 4 product categories, we have a DISIR approved R&D facility. We have more than 200 personnel focused on R&D. I'll not cover profitability and stock performance because you guys, I'm sure, are tracking us that way. On the next chart, we have a broad this thing. I'll first take you to the right side where we say that 75% of our operations are in India and 25% revenue comes from Europe. This 25% piece is largely for four-wheeler companies in Germany, Italy, France. So the Western European, the large names are all our customers there. In India, all the two-wheeler, three-wheeler companies in the country are our customers. And we also serve the four-wheeler industry. So if you see this four-wheeler breakup, 29% out of that 25% roughly comes from Europe. And there is 4% of our consolidated sales for four-wheelers from India. Two-wheelers is our key focus area where we have more than 60% of our turnover. And rest is for three-wheelers. And the other income is also categorized here. We have a very clean and simple corporate structure. The listed company is the only company in India where all our operations are housed. We have an operating subsidiary in Germany and an SPV in Italy. The SPV in Italy has over a period of time acquired various entities. That's why you see 5 different operating companies in Italy. You would have heard about the fact that we've recently entered into an arrangement to acquire 51% shares in Maxwell, which is into the BMS space. And over a period of 5 years, we would be acquiring 100%. This gives you a picture of our products in India. So you'll see that we are our 4 product categories. They go into various parts of the motorcycle. In three-wheelers also, we have different products, and so do we have in four-wheelers. In Europe, we like I said, we do aluminum casting and machining in Europe, and also we have a specialty plastics business, which is again focused on the automotive industry. So these are our various parts that go into four-wheelers in Europe. Like I said, we have 28 facilities, 19 in India and 9 in Europe, which is in Italy and Germany. And we have 4 DSIR approved R&D facilities in India. Apart from that, we have a test track. We are the only tier 1 auto ANC company which has a test track of this nature. So we call ourselves an end-to-end service provider because we start by designing the product, particularly the proprietary products, which is suspensions, brakes, and transmissions. We go along with the OEMs, we develop the product to their requirements, test and validate, manufacture, deliver, of course. And in terms of after sales service, we not only serve the OEMs, but we have an independent aftermarket as well. I will not focus on the financials, like I said, but I just want to make a point that we've tracked how the industry has moved in terms of volumes. And so the CAGR is given here and our total income, the CAGR is given here. So we have consistently outperformed the industry. Yeah, this is again a slide on financials. So our financials are on the net. You can see that we are net debt negative. CRISIL AA+, ICRA AA+. With a stable outlook. And this is our headcount, which is 4407. So you'll see we've taken a lot of actions on costs, which we'll cover subsequently. Yeah, this we will be covering in our questions. These are some key numbers that we have. We are the largest, like I said, aluminum die casting company when it comes to two-wheeler, three-wheeler auto component manufacturers. When we did our IPO, we kind of commissioned a study which showed that we were the largest, and I'm sure we continue to be the largest. In each of our products, we are top 2, and we, like I said, we have 19 plants in India. We focused, like I said, on R&D and also on technology. So wherever we require to bring in external technology, we go to the best experts, which is why we have multiple technology arrangements. So this is a KTM company where we have a technology tie-up on suspensions. Endurance Adler is a clutch technology company with whom we had a tie-up since 2002, and then we acquired the company 2 years ago. This is for ABS. So this is BWI. Beijing West is a US-based company. It used to be Delphi, which got taken over by a Chinese company. So they are very prominent in suspensions and brakes technology. Grimeca is a brakes company, which again we acquired. They are a very strong brand, and we are already producing Grimeca branded brakes. For forgings, in 2019, we entered into a technology agreement. So we are using their technology to produce forgings, which are in the form of axle clamps for our inverted front forks. Like I said, we are the only company in the country, tier one company or an auto ancillary company, which has a test track of this nature. This is this has all the tracks that are required for testing our products and certain other products of OEMs. So not only do we use it for our products, but when the OEMs test tracks are extremely busy, they sometimes rely on our test track. So I'll spend just 2 minutes on this slide because this is something worth knowing. So we have this 8 tracks here. The first is the high speed performance track, which is called T1. The second is the ride and evaluation track. The third is the ABS track. So so the ABS development, you know, apart from the global majors, Bosch and Continental, we are the only ABS supplier in the country. So a lot of the testing was done here. This has surfaces which have low friction so that the brakes can be tested. They have we have a facility here to keep the place wet or dry. Yeah, we have the handling tracks where we the motorcycle has to take various kinds of turns. We have gradients here. So you can see these flyover kind of structures. So these are gradients. We have mud and water channels and country tracks. So the country track was also, this was actually a subsequent addition which we required. We need to test the ABS. So this test track has been extremely useful for us when we have developed our ABS product. The European business, so you would have seen that our Italian SPV has multiple subsidiaries. That is because we have been continuously growing our European business, not only organically by adding capacities, but also inorganically. So this is a time chart where we have shown various acquisitions and how we've grown the European business. Yeah, and you will see that we have a fairly consistent, I mean, the last year, of course, has been an awkward year because of firstly COVID and then the war and the chip shortages. But otherwise, it's been, and of course, the energy crisis that Europe is facing. But otherwise, it's been a very nice trend of, so we, as an Indian auto ancillary company operating out of Europe, this year, our profits, our EBITDA is around 12 to 13%, which is significantly lower than the 18 to 19% which we have consistently achieved. And this drop of 6% is entirely due to energy prices. So if you exclude the energy prices at 18 to 19% EBITDA, we are probably the only Indian company having operations which are that profitable in Europe. Another focus area for us is the aftermarket, which we established in 2001. We have our own brand. So the three proprietary products, clutches, brakes, and suspensions, and the components required for clutches, brakes, and suspensions, and a few other products which we don't manufacture, but we trade into. So there we sell under the Endurance brand. We established in 2001. We export to 31 countries. We have 3 distribution centers, 501 distributors and dealers, 42 overseas distributors. So we are very strong in countries, not only in our neighboring countries, but also in countries in Africa and South America. So this is a very profitable business, and we've been growing this business both in absolute terms and as a percentage of our total turnover. We've been following a growth strategy here. Yeah, this will probably get covered in our questions. We just wanted to highlight to you that we focus a lot on our people, where we focus on the work culture, the diversity, and people development practices. These are our values. So we live by our values. And I'd like to highlight that in our operations, safety is extremely critical. And we give the highest importance to safety, not only for our employees, but also when it comes to contractors working in our premises. Our focus on ESG is very strong, which is why we have focused on, for instance, replacing fossil fuels with green energy. So these are our efforts on the society. We have our company runs a trust called Sevak Trust, which works very closely with multiple NGOs and villages in and around Aurangabad particularly, where our focus is on education, healthcare, sanitation, environment and livelihoods. Yeah, we've won multiple awards. Yeah, the updates I'm sure you would have heard on our con call, and this these slides are available on our website, so you can get our updates. Thank you for being patient.
So, sir, as you mentioned that your majority of your chunk goes into two-wheeler industry, how are you seeing two-wheeler industry shaping it in terms of productions and despite the industry headwinds?
Okay, there's a longish answer to that. You know, if you recollect way back in FY19. The total number of vehicles made by the two-wheeler industry was 24.4 million. Right? Today, we are hovering around 17.9 or so. So, there's a clear gap. 7 million vehicles are missing from the system. Now, when I say missing from the system, it doesn't mean that people have stopped selling or people... It's just that there's a contraction in the demand because of semiconductors or because of COVID. This is a pre-COVID number and then you've got a COVID in between. And then so, it's that change which has made the difference. So if I have to go back to 24.4, which is the achievable target, very easily achievable target, because the market size is there. In fact, the market has grown beyond that. It's just that certain headwinds on, for example, prices escalation, the semiconductor availability and all is dampening the offtake of it. But otherwise, going back to 24.4 or 25 million is clearly possible, number one. Now, if I go, let us say, 10 years back, the auto industry experts, they said that the market size would be close to 29 to 30 million. So if that be true, that means we are still there to scale up largely. So there's a big potential ahead of us. So if at all I've got to give a number, that would not be correct, but I can say that yes, reaching back to 24.24 million is can be seen in immediate future. Immediate future means I can say even next year, why not?
Sir, also, can you please add on to your opening remarks, like how are the trends you are witnessing in the last 2 months, specifically in Europe, in India business? What are your biggest risk factors currently? What are the inquiries from OEMs? So, your thoughts on that?
I can make a comparison of the ECUs, which is the electronic control units, which we use for our ABS manufacturing. Earlier, we also had some constraints in getting, the numbers from our suppliers because of the semiconductor. Those numbers are increasing. While those numbers are increasing, right, the numbers from the vehicles side is also increasing. So we are seeing that there is an up move on the consumption pattern. There's an up move on the optics, and I positively hope that that in the coming days monsoon is going to play a good role or whatever. I don't see there are mixed comments about monsoon, but still. We're hoping to have a good monsoon, and these are positive signs for the industry to move up. We are seemingly out of COVID, COVID scare. Everybody is without sitting in a closed room of 12 by 12 without a mask itself it's a sign that, probably we are saying goodbye to COVID. So if all these things are going to happen, the trends are going to improve. Right? I would say that the bottom of the auto industry is almost finished now. So from here, you can only move upwards.
And what's your thoughts on Europe?
In Europe also, we have been acquiring new orders. In fact, this year has been, in the last 4 years, in terms of acquiring new orders, FY22 has been the best year. As a lot of car companies are transitioning from traditional ICE models to hybrid and EV models, they are giving out new orders, which in a way, I mean, some of it could be replacement. I understand that. But we won 71.4 million of orders from Porsche, Daimler, CNH, BMW and Stellantis in FY22. So we are doing very well in order winning, and we are doing very well in terms of winning orders for hybrid and electric vehicles. So till date in our order book, we have 150 million euros of orders. Now, if you see our peak revenue in Europe, it was around 240 to 250 million. It's down to 218 million now with whatever is happening there. But if we assume that Endurance Europe standard or steady state turnover is, say, 250 million, out of that, we have booked orders worth 150 million in the EV and hybrid space. So though these will peak in FY27, but I just wanted to highlight to you that 150 out of 250, which is roughly 60%. 60% of our steady state turnover is already booked in terms of EVs and hybrids.
This aluminium die casting in Europe, in engines, how much usage? Or there is no usage of?
No, there is usage.
So how much will go down from ICE and go to EV? See, you got 150 million euros in EV, but there would be some.
It's in EVs and hybrids. Now, hybrids have an ICE engine, we must recognize that. So, out of 150 million, 55 million is EVs and 95 million is hybrids. So, today, if we look at our split, we are roughly 40% into engines, 40% into transmissions, and 20% into other products.
Is this the European business?
This is European business, yeah.
So 40% engine, 40% transmission, and
40% would be our other business, which would include body and structural parts and some clutches that we manufacture.
So how much of these RFQs, you got in FY22 got converted? Is there any general percentage which you can share? Or the trends you can see in that?
No, see, the RFQs, we are aware that these new models, firstly, to launch the model, the OEM takes time. Yeah, they give us the order, then they launch the model. So that time is there where there will be, out of these 71.4 million orders that we have won in FY22, many of these would not have started delivering revenue as yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then the models would launch and then the models would get ramped up.
See, let's understand the working methodology of the OEM. The engine components are made first. And die casting parts are an integral part of the engine. And that takes a longer testing time. So if we are onto the engine platform, you can expect that it will take at least 2 years for the vehicle to come. So that's a maturity period,
Yeah, that's right.
So orders booked today are a security of tomorrow.
So in the domestic business, we did last year about 5,700 crores of top line, right?
Yes.
And total, let's say if I were to put up Bajaj Auto, TVS, Eicher, and everybody put together, the total raw material consumed was roughly about 65,000 odd. So we are already at about almost 9 to 10% of the industry in terms of its raw material usage, of which we would be only some parts, right?
Yeah.
So in majority of the product now, we would be hitting almost fairly large market share. Is that right, assumption? And from here on to grow, well, like it grew about, significantly higher than industry for 10 years. But from here to grow, product addition becomes more important than winning the orders, or let's say in terms of marketing, because we are already there in products or even would that be right? Or SKU is very large in terms of, let's say, Bajaj, and in others, there's still a lot of space to
grow. Yeah, there's still a lot of space. So to answer that question is, even in Bajaj, right, although we enjoy a very large share of business with them, because we've got a historical service level, right, we've been servicing them since.
So of their wallet, we would be how much?
Of their wallet, of Bajaj itself.
Of their spends, what would be our number?
So roughly 50% of our standalone turnover goes to them.
This
so,
is okay. I'm saying for them, what would we be as a percentage of their own? Let's say a buy cost is, let's say, X.
Hmm.
What would be our share in that?
Okay, that
one. I'm not asking more.
The content is between 11 and 13%. In some models, it's as high as 16%.
Even in case of
it. Yes.
So in terms of Europe business, you mentioned that it gets to do 80% kind of odd margin and now to 12%. So in the shorter term and in the longer term, when do you see coming back to 18% kind of?
So the entire 6% gap is on account of energy prices. Yeah. With what's happening in Russia and Ukraine, it doesn't look like the energy prices will come down in a hurry. Yeah. So as and when the energy prices come back to normal, we'll be back to the 18% level.
But are we in discussion with our customers that
yes.
Passing some of
these? That's a good question. See, try to understand one thing, that this was, energy was not part of the indexing elements.
Okay.
Right? It was never part of the indexing elements. But today, and that's why probably the OEMs got away from it also. Right? Saying that, okay, giving this argument that it was not part of it, and it was with everyone. But at least now, the OEMs have started recognizing one thing, that it has to be part of the cost structure. Because nobody will be able to sustain this.
Right? Companies like Endurance, where we have got a good cost structure, we've got good governance over there, we've got a good business model over there. That's why we have still been at around 14% EBITDA margins. Right? And whatever has been, you know, taken away, it's only because of energy. So now OEMs, they understand that if energy is the primary reason for, you know, for any business model to be shaken up, right, I'm sure that it will be addressed too. Because Endurance is one of the strong companies out there, but there may be some weak links over there. So I'm sure the OEMs would not like any of the supply chain to break. You know, so in the interest of the supply chain to remain intact and to remain healthy, the OEMs will have to address this first. They have to recognize this first.
Can they bring back to 50% next 2 years?
It'll be difficult to, you know, put a forward-looking number right now, but as soon as these costs are addressed, right, going upwards on our EBITDA margin is absolutely no.
But 5% is the...
I would not like to put any number onto it, but I can only say that, yes, this is an improvement, area of improvement, which is recognizable by the OEMs. And once that comes in, margins, it will straight away improve the margins.
Have any of the other players shut down? Because at 18%, we could sustain 6%, but somebody who's operating it at 7-8%, for him to sustain the 6%, probably some might have closed down or...
In the European,
in terms of RFQ, are you seeing that?
Yeah, in the European casting industry, we have seen a lot of players, even with lower energy costs, a lot of players not being able to sustain. Endurance has continuously been bagging new orders, and we've been working more on the OEM's side. There's hardly any tier one supplies that we do over there. That has been our strategy there ever since we acquired those companies, and that strategy has put us in good stead.
Yeah, sir, why are we not catering on a larger scale to PV industry in India? We are obviously there in machine castings, etc. So, but just to know on that.
Yeah, so the answer to that is that we were largely into the two-wheeler space, right? And we always found that we still have got to explore the two-wheeler, or, you know, exploit the two-wheeler market. And since that was our domain expertise, we moved into that. As far as four-wheeler is concerned, you must have seen, we have got only one product, that is die casting.
Yeah.
So from die casting here also, we have backed some very big orders from Kia Motors, Hyundai, and so on. That are very big orders, because now there also, we're moving up the value chain. We're doing fully machine casting. So if at all I've got to track down, let us say 10 years back, we acquired this GetTrack business order, which was fully machine castings being sent to Mexico. From there onwards, we have only taken an upward move to supply fully finished castings to all OEMs, be it tier one or be it directly to OEMs. And that's what is taking us up the value chain. So to answer your question, two-wheeler was first to be exploited, and then we moved into four-wheeler. So today, if you look into my progress into four-wheeler, I'm with Kia Motors, Tata Motors, Mahindra, and Hyundai. All these new businesses have been acquired, and they're not small businesses.
Yeah.
They're into hundreds of crores.
Yeah, so the share will increase going forward.
Yes, the share will increase going forward.
Since aluminium casting segment, it is about, say, 25-27% of our revenue. The domestic aluminium casting and available is, I think, about 25-27% of the revenue. That is at
console level.
How much of that is only aluminium? How much is non-aluminium broadly?
No, we can tell you the capacity of alloy wheels and the fact that we are expanding it, but I don't have the revenue breakup.
Exactly. Ask this question is that the extent speaking something like that, unless steel is getting replaced by aluminium, and within aluminium, forging, composing, increasing versus casting. And this trend, where does Endurance fit into this thing on a 3-5 year
perspective? No, not necessarily that forging is. See, forging is a more expensive process. It's only structural parts where people would be using something like a gravity die casting, you know, they're moving into structural parts, are moving into forging. But not all castings are moving into forgings. Okay? Like, Raj gave me...
Is this trend more relevant to, say, PV and CV than two-wheeler? Is that...
No, see, in two-wheeler, what would be, like, I will give you the example of inverted front forks, where earlier we also used to buy these forging methods, which are the triple clamps and the axle clamps. So axle clamps are the lower structural parts in which the vehicle wheel is held, and the triple clamp is the upper aluminium forged part, which holds the handlebar, okay? So, and in one vehicle, there are two triple clamps, one which holds the steering column and the leg assemblies together, and one is on top, which holds the handlebar. And the axle clamps are two at the bottom. Now, these are forged components because they are structural elements. So, if I go 10 years back, when we just started inverted front forks, we were importing this from Liber and Forgi Albino and so on. Now we found that this market is growing exponentially, you know, for endurance as far as inverted front forks are concerned. So a backward integration was a logical extension to our, because it gives the OEMs an import substitution, and it lowers the cost also. So as you all know, that cost is something which plays a very critical and important role in, you know, staying in business with the OEMs and offering those cost reduction elements puts you onto the business. As such, our business model also says that we offer complete solutions. We've been sticking on to that. We've been holding on to that slogan of ours, that we'll go on offering complete solutions. So complete solutions would mean what? Even going into the extent of replacing the import content, localizing that. It did cost us some money as far as investment is concerned, capex, but it was worth, because now the volumes are there which can hold the business together. Now, apart from this, once the forging business has started, or the captive consumption that has started, we have started acquiring more business on forging components from OEMs also. So not necessarily that I'll be using forging only for captive consumption, but I can expand into other elements also which are forged.
What's your vision on the non-automotive business long term? How do you see that?
We have acquired two major orders. Yeah. Right? One is Sanmina and the other was Gentra.
Yeah.
These are telecom and
generators.
Yeah. And these are very good orders. In the aluminium space, if we go on exploring further, which we will do on non-automotive business, we will not be shying away from making those investments as long as it makes sense to our business model.
Whether it's forgings or non-automotive parts, when it comes to producing with aluminium by way of casting or forging, we must recognize that we are today one of India's largest buyers of aluminium. So we have that strength also.
With the opportunity to increase the market share in the European market, as you said, in luxury players, and plus many smaller players are not able to sustain the market in Europe because of the higher energy cost and high cost structure basically. So there is an opportunity for you to gain market share substantially, right, when the market stabilizes. So what kind of growth you are internally targeting over next, perhaps by FY25, the European operations should?
It's very difficult to put a number. Our focus is very much there, which reflects in the very large additions to our order book. So the fact that we've got more than 70 million of orders in a year, yeah, even in these bad times, where earlier years we were getting, say, 30 to 40 million order addition. Yeah, but then we don't know how these will replace some of the existing models which we serve.
See, in a business environment where things like Ukraine, and Russia is happening, and, energy prices going up, and booking orders for 71 million euros is something very good. It shows the strength of endurance being present over there. It shows that how the OEMs are recalibrating themselves to go into companies which are strong enough to sustain these, these kind of turbulences. So this is where we stand upfront as compared to our competition, that yes, we are there to support the OEMs. The OEMs have got trust in our performance. They've got trust in our product. And that's why this relationship not only matures, but reinforces.
So who are the competitors for us in this market? Major competitors, or who are the market leaders in this market?
There's a company called LTH. Then there's Georg Fischer. There's KSM.
NEMAC,
yeah. So these are the larger names. But otherwise, the industry is extremely fragmented.
You mentioned that you'll be, in case of domestic market, as you said, there is a gap of 6-7 million vehicles compared to the peak which we have in 2019. Do you see this kind of number to be achieved will be delayed as a lot of penetration of EV two-wheelers are rising, and with more organized player also jumping in this market, and with the expansion, aggressive expansion plan, do you expect that this can be achieved in next 2-3 years, or it will take around 7-8 years
more 20 by FY 28, 29, 30, we'll achieve that number of 21, 24 million.
Okay, that's a good question, but I've got a very simple answer to that. That EV space or EV two-wheelers are also an integral part of the two-wheeler industry.
Absolutely.
Okay, so if 24 million happens and some larger segment goes into EVs, it doesn't really matter because the market size is there for two-wheelers.
But in that case, your content per vehicle for EVs, domestic EV two-wheeler, and content per vehicle of IC two-wheeler would be different, right?
Yeah, because that is an evolving space. We have started acquiring orders, right, from EV space. And, you know, let's not forget one thing, that we have got products which are EV agnostic. We've got suspension, so irrespective of what happens to the engine, we've got suspension, we've got brakes, we've got castings. We are already there. So we have won already casting businesses, we have won brakes businesses, we have won suspension businesses. So that means the space available for us is much higher compared to those companies who are holding only single products. So my penetration into EV can be at a higher rate as compared to my competition, because my competition are individual. You know, I'm offering a basket of products. So if I go to a new OEM where EV is, you know, where they're into EV space, I can offer multiple products. And that's where I've got a better edge. Today, even the EV players, let's not forget, even the EV players would like to have a company where their vendor base minimizes so that they don't have too many, you know, people to deal around, too many vendors to deal around with. And a company like Endurance, which offers many solutions under one umbrella, under one basket. So that's where we've got a clear advantage over this.
On electrification, I'd also like to add that the pace of electrification will be faster in scooters rather than in motorcycles. And in scooter market, today we are only 8% of our standalone revenue goes into scooters, while 72% goes into motorcycles. So if motorcycles, the electrification is delayed, yeah, then that 72%, it stays in the ICE. So all our parts which are going there will continue to go. In scooters, as the market expands with more electrification, we'll only be able to get more orders. That's our belief.
So any plans in entering into, you know, or expanding the power electronic space, you know, some product diversification into DC-DC motors or converters, the ECU?
The acquisition of Maxwell is a step towards that. Because then you are practically with a product which is part of EV.
Yes.
You know, it demonstrates an EV presence. And so the acquisition of Maxwell is a step towards that. Because BMS is somewhere around 5 to 7% of the vehicle cost. And this is what their product is there.
Yeah.
Now, Maxwell is into embedded electronics. And out of which, this battery management system, BMS, is their prime product.
For us, ABS was the first embedded electronics product.
Yes.
So just to take that discussion forward, normally compared to IC, when we move to EV, and as you rightly said, BMS with Maxwell, logically speaking, you need a particular scale to come up to that particular margin level, right? Because in two-wheeler IC, obviously you have a great market share, you have great inroads into the current OEMs. But when in this shift to EVs, right, your profitability or your ROC in the initial years might be lower than, you know, what you command in IC. Is that understanding correct?
No, it's not. Okay. Because the moment I get into this EVs, I also recalibrate my margins and, you know, my pricing and other things. So it's not that I'll be compromising on my margins just to enter into EV space.
Okay.
That will not happen.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
What would be the CapEx for this year and next year?
Okay. So our steady state CapEx in India has every year been around 300 to 350 crores. So, we are net debt negative, we are sitting on substantial amount of cash. So whatever growth opportunities are there, we will be pursuing those growth opportunities. And unless if there's a radical growth in the market, I think we'll be within that range of 300 to 350 crores.
Okay.
So Europe does capex of around 20 million in a year. So with their large new orders, they would be probably going up to 25 or 30 million.
India business is largely EV agnostic, isn't it?
largely, except for the clutch part, which since the engine would not be there, so clutch gets disrupted, which is not there as a part. But otherwise, all products are EV.
And in the Europe business, with EVs coming up, how do you see that content per ton changing?
We've already been acquiring, as he said, that we've been acquiring businesses which are for EV.
No, I'm saying content per car.
So that is also strong. Two reasons. One is for the electric vehicles, which so in the European market, the high-end vehicles are going fully electric. So the battery electric vehicles are the high-end vehicles where there's a lot of focus on lightweighting. So their aluminium content is going up. So whatever engine parts are not there in a high-end EV, they are getting made up by other parts. In the hybrid vehicle, of course, there's a smaller engine as well as other parts. So there is more of transmission battery housing, and then there is the smaller engine. So, in terms of content, we are good or better.
In the last few years, we have acquired some new clients and the business is, scaling up from there.
So, in India?
Yeah. So, take us through your experience, like what are the general discussions happening when you go on acquiring any new client? How difficult it is and how much time does it take to onboard a new client and, increasing the wallet share from them in India versus in Europe?
Okay, a good question, very good question. But let's not forget one part, that there are players wherever Endurance goes down to a customer saying, okay, I am, have got a product portfolio of transmission, braking, suspension, I'm going over there with existing players, being part of their OEM structure. So it's not that easy to disrupt people, disrupt something.
Yeah.
So my competition is already there. But what is my strength? How do I go and disrupt them? I go and tell the OEMs that I am a complete solution provider. I give you an end-to-end solution. All I get from my OEMs is a design and input data sheet, which we call as a DITS. And after that, we do everything for them. We do the design, as he explained, full services. We do the design, development, validation, manufacture, supplies, and service. So it's a full service offering that we give to our customers. And that is probably the advantage. Now, let's look into a bigger picture of this. Up till yesterday, we were doing design, development, and supplies. Okay. Then we extended our business activities to validation also. Why? Because we wanted to start doing what the OEMs were doing. So how do I attract my audience? My audience is my OEMs. My audience is not someone who doesn't understand what is testing validation. So if I add up testing and validation facilities at my place, the confidence level will change. So today, I've reached to a stage where the customers want to believe in the validation setups which I have in my factories. So that reduces their job. Now, once we've done that, that was an experience from design to testing and validation. But that was on the lab. So what we did, we further extended RLDA, road load data acquisition. That was going one step further. So we acquired what was experienced in lab. We converted that into a product. We put that product onto the field. We started capturing the events that happen in the field. And that's why we acquire all those events on an instrument. We box up the whole vehicle, get all those events on instruments. We put it back onto the lab. We create those events on testing. One event is those testing which are part of our design DVP, which we call as design validation plan. Now we are also introducing, or we have already introduced, the vehicle events on the field. So we can test those events also. Now what? We further progress. So the graduation towards just from design till the vehicle. So we got design onto the road, then road back to design, and now design back onto the vehicle and testing it on the test track. So it has given us the opportunity to give first-time right solutions in a much faster period of time. And that's where the winning edge is. So when I go and converse with my OEMs, I give these offerings. I show them what my strengths are. We have got total experience. When I say total, we know what happens in the field. We know what kind of events happen in the field. And our products are designed to meet those events. For example, I give you an example of alloy wheels. Alloy wheel can go through, the worst of abuse because of potholes, because of, speed breakers, because of speed and whatever. In India, you know that we've got different kinds of speed. We've got different kinds of drivers. under all eventuality also, if a end user is even abusing the vehicle to the extent that he's unable to handle any crashes, the alloy wheel will only bend, it will not break. So we've got those events factored into our design that we talk about safety on our products. Let me remind all of you, all the products that we are handling, be it suspension, be it brake, be it alloy wheel, be it casting, except for stationary parts and castings, are all representative of safety category and performance category. So what I offer to my customer is performance, durability, reliability, and safety. This is what I offer. And that's what gives me an edge to acquire new
customers. So is there any product-wise approval cycle, like suspension?
There is.
Okay. So can you share that?
No, we cannot. That's proprietary in nature, because I can only tell you a design validation plan for a suspension would be totally different. Right. A validation plan for alloy wheel would be different. A validation plan for engine components like a clutch would be totally different. And I can at least share with you one thing, that under the worst of conditions, we have got those simulations done in our factories, in our labs. So I can simulate probably any condition of the field to improvise the design that we are making.
In terms of EV, any sort of new agreement with the related parties, or we could do any and every product in EV?
No. Okay, you mean to say with Varroc? Yeah. So
I mean,
firstly,
we met them yesterday, and they are also very keen on probably doing it. So I'm just asking, you can do any product within EV?
Yeah, so Varroc, it's not a related party.
Mm.
There is an informal understanding, but there's no formal arrangement for Novo or anything like that.
You also mentioned in the opening remarks that you'll be starting drive shafts.
Yes.
It's already onto the vehicles, right? And we've acquired new business from Mahindra and TVS also, right? We've got the alloys from them.
So what Bajaj vehicles, it is already there.
Bajaj vehicle Maxima model is already there, right? And the mass production clearance is also received for this drive shafts.
You are allowed to tell.
Yeah, in a month or two, it will be into mass production.
Okay.
Can we share the segment-wise margins? And if not, then at least which is the what are the top margin-accretive segments?
So we do share that, but then all our products are into healthy margins and close to our average margins. Only aftermarket is of higher margins than our average.
Please, what I would request, look at endurance as the bigger umbrella, rather than looking into.
Yeah. There's no weak link if you are.
There's no weak link.
There's no weak link. In our product categories, all are strong products.
Can you share production capacity as to shock absorbers, CPS, KPS separately? What are the number of sets that we can produce per month?
Per month? Okay. I can give you a broader number, right? I can do close to 2 million shockers per month from all my facilities.
Mm.
That's a rough number. I'm just going by my mental math, so don't hold me for that.
Okay.
And similar would be for front foot leg assemblies, right? Front fork leg assemblies, but we are supplying front forks in two different configurations. One is with the steering column and under brackets, one is only leg assemblies.
Mm.
So, and that's why shocker makes it double, because there are two shockers on a vehicle,
right.
And front fork considered to be one, but actually there are two leg assemblies. So it would be close to the same amount. You know, when I take individual.
So when you say two, if it is a set or these are
two. See, on a vehicle,
huh.
You must have seen that there is a front section, right. On which there are two tubular
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, two tubular kinds of things,
huh.
But they're attached to a triple clamp in
right.
Between and the steering column.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's why it makes one assembly.
Right.
So to some of our customers, I'm supplying it as one assembly.
Okay.
To some of our customers, they do the under-packet assembly in-house.
Okay.
So I'm supplying leg assemblies.
Okay.
So I don't supply individual legs.
Okay.
For all practical purposes, it's going as an individual leg.
Right.
But when I supply for a vehicle, I supply two legs per vehicle.
Okay.
Okay.
So when you said 2 million per month, that's like both put together, one set is two.
One set is two, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And brake separately, ABS and others?
ABS, as I said, you know, we've already said this, 400,000... is the capacity 400,000 ABS modulators, and that's per year.
We should reach that capacity by September.
We should reach that capacity by September.
And other brake assemblies?
Brake assemblies.
Non-ABS?
Non-ABS, we have only our hydraulic brake system. We have added another factory. We've gone from 2.75 lakh sets to 5.5 lakh sets. And as far as the discs are concerned, we have gone from 3.75 to 6.5 lakh sets. Individual discs.
6.5.
This is all per month.
All per month, yes.
And how much would be clutch assembly as the percentage of value, or would it be anything?
No, so I mean, we are not sharing turnover or margins by product. But yeah, in clutch assemblies, we have a smaller market share as compared to the very strong market share that we have in suspensions and brakes.
But we still hold a very strong position as far as the clutch supplies are concerned. But if you look into the overall pie of our products, clutch is smaller, suspension and casting will be higher as well. On a comparative basis.
For your question to my
earlier. I think that is the last question.
Yes.
A follow-up question to my previous question again. So, for this non-automotive business, again, I'm trying to understand what else we would be trying to do, and slightly different a long-term question. What else we are trying to do? Maybe you can share that clarity.
See, our marketing team is in touch with various other industries where aluminium castings, aluminium forgings could be in use. Yeah. So, I'm aware they have recently been in touch with a large electrical capex goods manufacturer. Yeah. So, there would be various other industries where aluminium castings are in use. We are the largest aluminium casting company in the country. So, we have our strengths, our Chakan R&D center, our own tool room. So we make the dies ourselves. So we have all the adjacent strengths that are required to do anything with aluminium castings.
Supplies from Chakan plant has started for
aligning.
Thank you all.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, gentlemen. It was nice interacting with you. Always a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I met him in the office.
Yes.
In March, just before COVID actually broke out. To me, the first time I was there. 2020.
It's a great idea. Yes, sir.
Yeah. But we
don't want to be in Mumbai. Yeah. We'll be in Mumbai most of next week.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. Sure. Let me know for any plant visit.
Yes. Yeah. So, whenever we do our plant visit, I'll keep your numbers in mind.
Sure. Yeah, so we are actually shareholders of Endurance in past 1 year now.
Which firm do you represent?
Philip Capital.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
Of course, yeah, we've been in touch. Yeah.
We were actually trying to meet via Nitin Kalani, but now Nitin is also there. So now we can meet. So this time, first, I think for the second time we're meeting him.
Nitin was moved to Calcutta, I know, yeah.
But I'll drop you a mail. I have some clarification.
Certainly, yeah.
Meeting,
yes. Yeah.
Even I have some more questions.
Certainly.
Thank you. Nice meeting.
That was the problem for everyone.
So this Chakan
would like to have.
Now that it has started, most plant visits and all, we'll arrange something. We'll
sure. Let sir, one more small input. If you can, in your quarterly presentation, if you can also display the content per vehicle and how you plan to increase over a period of next 2-3 years.
See, forward looking, we don't want to say much, but content per vehicle, we can think
at least in the past, how you have improved, that would really help.
Yeah, that's
good
information.
Yeah, see, content per vehicle, we have to look at every model.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, like in Pulsar, we are in more parts as compared to maybe some of the other.
So perhaps on an average, your two-wheeler, how you are content per vehicle in export market, what is your content per vehicle, how it has improved?
Maybe that's a good metric actually, yeah.
Yeah, see, we kind of focus on what all we are doing to grow. Yeah, but let's be in touch. I mean, sure. Do write me an email with your questions, sure. And I will get back on the phone or on the email.
So can I? This Chakan plant alloy wheel supply has started, which was supposed to begin from June onwards. Alloy wheels
on
Chakan plant.
No, alloy wheels is not started. Just start in a.
Really commented on June.
Yeah, June, July. We still maintain.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
you want something?
No.
I'll just stop the recording now.
Yes.
Because we have a meeting now with Morgan Stanley.
Yeah.
But they do not want it recorded. I mean, FII client is no requirement. So, chalega na?
It's not required because it's not a group meeting.
Sorry.
So, just make sure that the recording is saved and it comes to us.
Yeah.
How you make sure?
See, I'm stopping the recording here.